Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Have you wondered what education is going to be like in the future for the development of nurses and respiratory therapists and other clinicians? Well, listen today as we talk to an expert in online education to learn how the world is changing and where we're headed.
Hello from sunny Austin, Texas, and welcome to the Healthcare Soothsayer Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bonnie Clipper, and yes, I'm a nurse. I have worked for more than 30 years as a nurse, chief nurse executive, innovation strategist, and speaker. I have taken the message of nursing innovation international and look forward to continuing this message to transform health. This podcast will bring you thought leaders and ideas that you may not have otherwise heard from. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Healthcare Soothsayers. Our guest today is Jeffrey Roche, Senior Vice President of Business and Workforce Development at Dignity Health Global Education. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to be talking with you today. Can we start by you telling us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, I've had the privilege starting my career actually in healthcare at a hospital in Northeast or in Pennsylvania. It was called Lehigh Valley Hospital, Pocono. I was there for 9 years, son of a nurse. And so, you know, ironically, I never thought I would actually work in healthcare, but was really drawn to healthcare through, you know, an experience while I was in college. And then ultimately started at Lehigh Valley Hospital, Pocono, you know, led multiple departments, community health, community engagement, public affairs, government affairs, business development, and strategic planning. And also for a period of time, actually reported to the president and CEO, who also happened to be a nurse. And I always say that in my healthcare career, having worked with multiple CEOs, there was no one better than her. Because as a CEO, she led like she was as a nurse, you know, taking care of everybody. And I used to call her the Mother Teresa of our hospital, just because of the nature of how committed she was to our mission and vision. And so I made a transition after that experience into academia, really from the perspective of, you know, I had done some work actually with academic institutions while I was in my role at Lehigh Valley Hospital, Pocono, and was eager to see how I could bridge the gap between both healthcare and higher education, because I saw a lot of missing integration and opportunities really to bring the two together. And so that was really my intrigue. And so I did that at two different academic institutions and then got recruited over here to Dignity Health Global Education to lead all of our strategic partnerships around workforce development.
So tell us a little bit about Dignity Health Global Ed, and then I want to talk a little bit more about where you see education going in the future to build our workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dignity Health Global Education was founded in 2019. Actually by then Dignity Health and another organization called Global University Systems, which is, you know, an international organization that does work within the higher education space. And, you know, Dignity Health recognized as a healthcare organization themselves, and this was right before the merger of Dignity Health and Catholic Health that ultimately formed Common Spirit, that, you know, healthcare, as you know, with relation to education, workforce, professional development, and even leadership development is very unique. And there are certainly awesome academic institutions that do incredible work throughout this country and actually throughout the globe. But there are times where there's really a need to almost be that intermediary that can really make sure that not only are we creating academic programs that fulfill workforce needs, but that we're also developing programs with healthcare lens. And so making sure that at all aspects of the learning process, everything is developed for healthcare by healthcare. And that really means that when we partner with academic institutions like we do, you know, whether it's Duke Corporate Education, whether it's Arizona State, whether it's University of Arizona, et cetera, we are literally bringing the faculty together with healthcare subject matter experts. Could be a CNO, could be a CEO, could be someone that's retired after, you know, several years in leadership. But it's really that idea of curating together, bringing the best of the best from academia and healthcare literally together to make sure we deliver the right content.
So what's really cool about this is that you guys probably have your fingers on the pulse of what is going on in the world of workforce, because as we're seeing certainly in nursing and in the world of nursing, we are just seeing literally the turnover, the attrition just continues to compound. What kind of work are you doing to bring new clinicians in, no matter the discipline? What does that look like?
Yeah. So, you know, we have a number of clinical programs, specifically within the whole Common Spirit Health Network. We have a college that's actually called the Mercy College of Health Sciences, which is in Iowa. And Mercy College of Health Sciences, we actually worked with them a number of years ago to specifically look at all their in-person programs and see which healthcare programs would make sense to go online so that, again, we could scale and reach needs, not just in Iowa, but really wherever within the United States. And so in particular with Mercy College of Health Sciences, we have an online RN to BSN program, CCNE accredited. We also have one of our most in need programs today, obviously in addition to nursing, but this is a very specific one as well, which is our online accredited medical assistant program, certified medical assistant program. And so, you know, that was a program that was specifically designed to be a health system solution, meaning instead of medical assistant programs where an individual, you know, goes and does the program and then they, you know, get a job, this is a specific program where they actually already work in healthcare and say they work in environmental services or they work in food services and they want to continue to grow. And so they actually would do this program in a part-time fashion. Health system could sponsor them, for example, which is often what we find. And then they become a certified medical assistant. And so we are also doing a number of programs. In fact, just today we announced an additional partnership that we're doing with Futuro Health in California, where we're doing a community health worker and a behavioral health specific focused program. And so we're going to continue to grow. I will tell you that every day we hear of needs from other healthcare systems, not just Common Spirit. And then we immediately begin to, you know, look at whether it's Mercy College or another college partner, university partner, that would want to work with us to make sure we deliver a solution. So we're always trying to do what we can to support the healthcare workforce of today and then also the healthcare workforce of tomorrow.
Which is really interesting. When you look through your lens in terms of what the healthcare workforce of tomorrow looks like, are there any roles or disciplines that you can see us sunsetting or phasing out? And then conversely, are there other roles that you see popping up that we don't know about right now?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting when you think about that. So, you know, without question, I think we're going to continue to see our healthcare system move more and more to having to be consumer focused. And I think, you know, when we look at that, that will require certainly not necessarily different academic degrees, but without question, I do believe it's going to require more skills-based education and training, and, you know, not just skills of today, but skills of tomorrow. And so, you know, without question, I'll give an example that I could definitely foresee changing. You know, within the field of healthcare today, when we look at the workforce from a perspective of information technology, you know, healthcare systems for so long have required bachelor's degrees for so many different positions, yet when you really think about it, you know, IT in many ways is a skills-based type of training. And so, you know, I could see that shifting as time goes on, because the reality of it is that there's so many certification options. There's so many opportunities for individuals to get trained and retrained and upskilled and reskilled that, you know, things are going to shift. And I think that's just an example that I think without question is going to probably translate into other areas. I'm a firm believer that we have to, if there's one thing that I will always talk about when we talk about workforce and healthcare, it's really that we've got to find a way to really generate interest at a very young age within our K-12 space of why healthcare is a place for people to be employed. And it's not just, you know, nursing, it's not just being a doctor, oftentimes that's what, you know, people think of. While both are absolutely noble professions and absolutely needed, we've got to help people understand all of the different options. And we've got to reach them earlier, and we've got to talk about pathways and pipelines. We've got to inspire them.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more with you, because I think that we've done this sort of pendulum swing too far one way about everybody has to go to college and all these jobs are extremely difficult. I think you're onto something there, because we're going to have to swing back to skill and competency-based careers that are great, yep, solid careers. And certainly they're going to be so incredibly needed as we continue to try to provide patient care that we're used to in this country.
Yep, absolutely. And the other thing I think that's so critical there too, as you know, is that as part of that pendulum swing, in many ways, we've gotten too far away from remembering first and foremost that we're there to take care of one another. And, you know, whether that's our patients or also our fellow team members, that, you know, I always think of the Gold Foundation when they, you know, their motto is keeping healthcare human. Every aspect of our healthcare system and setting needs to be thinking about how we treat one another, you know, with kindness, with respect. And yet, you know, in many ways, mm-hmm, because of technology and certainly a whole shift in a lot of other things, we've certainly gotten away from that. And that concerns me. And I think we've got to get right back to the core of what we're there for.
Are those skills that are built into the programs that you teach through Dignity Health Global?
Absolutely. In fact, in our certificate programs and even in the degree space where we work with our partners, but even at the certificate programs where we've developed certificates in various different topics, you know, with Duke, we have a certificate in healthcare leadership, certificate in nurse leadership, and then we also have many other certificates in innovation and analytics, et cetera. We do absolutely every single certificate that we offer is done specifically around skills-based education. But then we also bring in, you know, some of these very important, what we consider at times soft skills. I like to really refer them as human skills that, again, get to that human-centered approach. One of the things we've recently done is just started also is to bring in, you know, some aspects of kind of modeling it out, for example, with Mersion. And we're actually working with Mersion right now, you know, in a number of our programs where students have an opportunity as they go through the program to literally, while they're doing the program, they may get a scenario where they're working through communication or they're working through, you know, an issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion within, you know, within a team or within a communication type of episode. And you literally, you're talking on the screen, you're getting feedback, you're modeling it out, modeling the way. And so, no, we're really committed to that interactive engagement model that is going to be life-changing from a learning perspective.
What would you say are your most popular programs in terms of workforce development, specifically in this kind of more, I guess all of your work is really in the healthcare realm?
Everything we do is in healthcare. We're going to continue to expand, you know, within the healthcare space, meaning, you know, we'll look at other industries with some other programs in life, you know, in life sciences and such. But everything we do will remain in healthcare. You know, interestingly enough, we are getting more and more requests by healthcare systems to look at the medical assistant program because of that pipeline challenge that we're all seeing. But at the same time, our certificates have been incredibly impactful because every, you know, majority of them are 8 weeks to 12 weeks. And so they're really a great opportunity for reskilling and upskilling. And at times, you know, they're also just an opportunity for professional development. As you know, not every healthcare system has the same robust professional development that some do. And so we're fortunate to be in a position where, you know, our learning team has partnered with some of the best not-for-profit academic institutions in the nation. And we've developed programs that are literally ready, prepared for healthcare professional development, learning development, to literally utilize in all the work that they do.
That's really cool. Are you able to think of an example or a time that the access to the education that you provide at DHGE, can you think of sort of a story that really epitomizes or humanizes kind of the work that you guys are doing for a community or a system?
Yeah. So, you know, interestingly enough, we're working with a healthcare system right now in Georgia, where they came to us and specifically they were looking at the leadership and the opportunity to identify stronger leaders within their nursing departments. And so one of the things we immediately looked at is our certificate in nurse leadership with Duke Corporate Education, because that's, you know, by far one of our most in-demand programs. And so, you know, we've now had, you know, roughly by the end, there'll be over 80, but we've had roughly around 60 or so nurse leaders now that have gone through that program, certificate program. And then what's awesome about it is that at the end of it, we always go over an impact report. And so we recently had the opportunity to look at that impact report actually with the chief nursing officer, as well as members of the chief nursing officer's leadership team. And, you know, every program that we have has a pre-assessment. And then, you know, obviously they work through week by week by week, asynchronously. However, every week there's very engaged discussion posts that they all contribute to. A lot of conversation occurs between the students. It's awesome. And then the impact report at the end, also there's a post-assessment. And so, you know, we had an opportunity to review that impact report. And one of the things that I know the team specifically highlighted is that they're going to use specifically all the aspects of what those students learned in the certificate. They're going to use that data to help them look at how they look at their future plan of succession planning, which, you know, gets at the core. I mean, we were so ecstatic to hear that not only were they going to look at it for each and every one of the, you know, members of the team, but also for succession planning. And that's really at the heart of what we've got to do in learning and education these days.
And that's a great example, because I think we have people running in so many directions. It feels sometimes that the skills that we have just aren't meeting the moment the way that we need them to. And in some regards, it feels as though we're sort of reaching back and pulling out old models of care and old care delivery systems to just try to repurpose and reimagine what we're doing to be able to provide safe patient care with a shrinking number of nurses, physicians, respiratory therapists. Yeah. So it feels incredibly opportunistic in terms of what we can do at this time. Are there things that you guys want to be doing that you aren't? And certainly I'm not asking you to spill the beans here, but if there's things that you're thinking of or opportunities that are out there or roles to create, what does that look like to you?
Yeah. So, you know, there's definitely going to be, continue to be more and more need in the allied health space, without question. And so, you know, we're going to continue to look at what solutions, again, we can partner, particularly, as you know, oftentimes that has been at a community college level, yet we all know the challenges that community colleges face. And so we've got to continue to innovate and think very differently about, you know, these types of programs. And so there's definitely going to be a lot of attention in that space without question. The other thing I would highlight is, and it's not something that we're not doing, because it actually is something that we are doing and will continue to do, is that, you know, an increased focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workforce is more critical than ever as well. We've got to partner with healthcare systems and you know, the entire continuum to diversify and ensure that the workforce actually looks, you know, like the patients that they serve, and also in many ways looks like the other employees, so that it's you know, culturally diverse as well. I mean, we all know, I mean, data suggests that if we have a more diverse, engaged workforce, then even our patients benefit the most. And so we're doing incredible work in that space now with Common Spirit. Specifically, they launched with us an Equity Impact Scholarship Fund, which has now allowed more and more students, you know, particularly that work in healthcare, to have opportunity to take some of the programs that we offer. Because as you know, I mean, education isn't always cheap. And access, you know, for some populations is more difficult than others. And so this is really about helping reach people where they're at, give them an opportunity for education, and create more equity within that process. And so that's going to continue to be a major focus for us. And then the other thing I would highlight is we're going to continue to grow specifically and look at the post-acute space, because there's such immense workforce education challenges and needs in that space as well. And so there is no doubt of what we're going to do in that space too, to develop specific best-in-class education and training programs that not only meet leaders, but also meet the frontline, you know, members of staff. You know, what do we do to help them understand that you can have a career in the post-acute space, whether it's senior care, senior living, you know, et cetera. You can have a career and it can be very fruitful and most importantly, impactful.
You know, I think those are incredible points. And I love what you're saying about equity, because I think we say the words, and I think that we really do mean them now, but our teams, those that provide care, those that work within the walls of our hospitals, and even to some degree, you know, outpatient and home care, skilled care, we really do need to much more closely align and resemble what our community members look like. And there is a tremendous opportunity, and much of that is actually based on what you just described. It's based on who we educate, who goes to school to end up with certain diplomas and degrees and certificates. So the work that you guys are doing in terms of bringing scholarship to really create and bring a sense of equity across different, you know, professions and disciplines, that's to be applauded, because we need much more of that. So way to go.
Thank you. Yeah. And let me just say too, that, you know, what's great about it is that Common Spirit created the fund, and it's not just for Common Spirit. You know, I mean, we've had individuals that are impacted throughout the entire globe, you know, specifically quite a bit here in the United States, that work for other healthcare systems. Because this isn't about, you know, one healthcare system. This is the entire workforce. And so it's been wonderful to see, you know, students who so eloquently tell us that without the scholarship, they wouldn't have had this opportunity. And, you know, what we're seeing, you know, now having had this opportunity since the summer, you know, these students that have completed are coming back and just sharing amazing stories about all that they're accomplishing. And many of them point right back to the educational opportunity that they had as a result of the scholarship.
You know, it what comes to mind for me is really sort of that old parable or adage that really what you're doing is teaching people to fish, right? Because once they have the skills and the competencies, they're going to develop the expertise, and then they're going to be able to have very successful and fruitful careers and be able to give back. And whether you pay it forward, whatever we call it, that's really a tremendous opportunity to give people in life.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty cool stuff. Well, you guys are doing a lot of great work that's helping us not only prepare the workforce of today, but also with an eye down the road looking at tomorrow. Are there any ahas or any things that kind of surprise you based on what you see coming in the future, or how the workforce is going to be changing?
You know, I think the big aha that I would share is that without question, across our entire healthcare ecosystem, we've got to really also celebrate and better recognize the generational differences that are in the healthcare workforce. Because I think that there's been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of conversation across the board in every industry around, you know, I mean, you see the headlines all the time. What will millennials and Gen Z and Gen Y and Gen this do to the workforce? And the reality of it is that we don't need to look at that from a negative. We need to look at it from an asset and look at what we can do, to your point, to, you know, coach, empower, mentor, lift up, you know, help an individual perform at the best level that they can, or at the highest level that they can. And so the aha moment for me is that we've got to do a better job within our healthcare settings of supporting one another. Doing all we can to help another person be successful, not talk down, you know, not say this generation's, you know, doing this, or they're not working as hard. This is not a time for that. And frankly, it's never a time for that. And so from my vantage point, the only aha would be we've got to do a better job of taking care of and supporting one another in our healthcare workforce.
I think that is a great way to sort of end our discussion for today, because you just completely nailed it. And for me, the words that come to mind are just be kind, right? We got to help each other and lift each other up. So I love how you've said that, Jeffrey. Well, I have so enjoyed my time with you today. This is a great place for us to kind of wrap it up. Thank you again, Jeffrey, for being willing to be on Healthcare Soothsayers podcast and for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure. And please be sure to check out the show notes for this show to find Jeffrey's contact information and to learn more about his work. Thanks so much for listening to Healthcare Soothsayers. I really do appreciate it. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and share it with your network. That is how we grow and learn. If you have ideas for show topics or guests, please reach out to me directly at ThoughtLeaderRN on Twitter. For information about this show or any of the others in the Touchpoint Media Network, please check them out at touchpoint.health.